Thank you. I'll wait till 10:30 then and start the meeting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's meeting. So, some quick housekeeping, which I'm sure you're used to by now. Just a reminder that if all councillors could keep their microphones muted unless they've indicated that they wish to speak on an item, that when using video equipment, if you could leave your cameras on throughout the meeting, just so we know that it's you. If you lose your internet connection, we'll have a temporary pause in proceedings just while we let you rejoin. But if this kind of goes on for an extended period of time, then we'll carry on with the meeting as usual. If a councillor wishes to speak on an item, could they use the virtual raise hand function as normal, and at which point I will indicate and bring you into the item to speak. If I could ask that you refrain from using the chat functionality. And then for voting to take place, this will be a named vote by Democratic Services. If councillors could clearly indicate whether they are voting for, against or abstaining on the votes. And at which point then we'll inform of the results of the vote at the very end. So, item number one, to receive apologies for absence. Andrea.
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillor Aykroyd, and I believe County Councillor Peters is running a little bit late, and also Councillor Wildman will be with us shortly.
Perfect, thank you very much. Item two, declarations of interest, if there are any. Don't believe there are. Oh, Councillor Lamb?
Yeah, can I just mention that I'm Deputy League Governor of the Hospital Trust.
Perfect, thank you very much. Any other declarations of interest before we move on? I'll take that as a note. So, item three, to consider any urgent business. I don't believe there's been any urgent business raised. Nope. So, item number four, public minutes of the meeting held on the 24th of June and the extraordinary meeting held on the 20th of July. So, I'll take both of these motions separately. So, item number one of this is to approve the public minutes of the meeting held on the 24th of June. I will propose them. Can I take a seconder? Councillor Hudson? And then, should we have a vote on this then? So, would a named one for this? Andrea, please.
Thank you. Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Beach?
For.
Councillor Brady?
For.
Councillor Gould?
For.
Councillor Hudson?
For.
Councillor Hussein isn't present at the moment. Councillor Killoran?
For.
Councillor Lamb?
For.
Councillor Legg is a little bit late. Councillor Metcalf?
For.
Councillor Shrive?
For.
Councillor Walker?
For.
And Councillor Wildman, we're voting for the minutes of the previous meeting held on the 24th of June.
For them, yep.
Thank you. Chairman, that's unanimous. Agreed.
Thank you very much. So then, item two of this section. So this is the approval of the minutes of the extraordinary meeting held on the 20th of July 2020. So I'll propose them. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Gould? And then I believe we have a named vote on this item as well.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Beach?
For.
Councillor Brady?
For.
Councillor Gould?
For.
Councillor Hudson?
For.
Councillor Hussein's not with us yet. Councillor Killoran?
For.
Councillor Lamb?
Abstain.
Councillor Metcalf?
For.
Councillor Shrive?
Four.
Councillor Walker.
Four.
And Councillor Wildman.
Four.
Oh, Councillor Hussain. Councillor Hussain, we're just taking we've had a proposer and a seconder for the approval of the minutes of the meeting, the extraordinary meeting. Could you advise me how you would like to vote, for, against, or abstain?
For.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. We have 11 for and one abstention.
Thank you very much. So both of those have passed. So moving on to item 5. So this is the East Staffordshire Clinical Commissioning Group update. Now, unfortunately, they've not been able to send along a representative tonight due to annual leave. Initially, they were going to come in to, one, give us an update on the CCG, but also a chance to ask questions in terms of primary care from a question that was raised initially around patients being taken off GP surgeries where they had historically been. And then we've also raised concerns around the provision of GPs in regards to new housing developments and the coverage of those services across East Staffordshire. They have sent along two presentations to give an update in regards to the reopening and phased reopening of services in regards to coronavirus. I believe you should have all had a copy of those now and had a chance to go through them. If you do have any questions in regards to those presentations, if you'd like to send them along to myself or Andrea, and we will pass those on to the CCG. And then at the next meeting, we will have Nicole Harkness in attendance to give an update on the CCG in general, as well as a member of the clinical care commissioning team there to specifically get into the detail on those questions of GPs. Unfortunately, they've not been able to attend this meeting, but with quite a busy agenda anyway. Hopefully we should be able to cover that in September's meeting. Any quick questions on that one before I move on to item 6? No, at which point then, so moving on to item 6, so University Hospital of Burton and Derby update on the merger. So I believe we've got Duncan Bedford in the meeting tonight, who's kindly come along to give a short presentation and take any questions that we may have. So at which point I'll pass along to Duncan, if I can.
Thank you, Chair, and first of all, thank you for inviting me. Is it possible for somebody to pull the... we've just loaded Zoom, so I'm quite surprised that we're actually in. Is it possible for somebody to pull the presentation up?
I can't because I'm on my iPad, but Andrew, are you able to... or any other councillor who's got the presentation?
Just bear with me for 1 minute. I might be...
Yep.
1 moment.
I could probably have a go, but I'm frightened that it might log me out. I'm not touching any buttons at the moment. Let's see if you can put it off. I think they've all gone out with the papers, haven't they, the presentation yet?
They have, yeah.
Sorry, Chairman, just bear with me, won't be a minute.
No worries. Is it worth, Duncan, you starting?
Yes, yeah, so I start.
If you make start.
So, as I say, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm Duncan Bedford, I'm the Executive Managing Director here at Burton and have responsibility for the two community hospitals. Sir Robert Pickett at Tamworth and Samuel Johnson at Lichfield. And as hopefully most of you will be aware, we form part and parcel of the broader trust of UHDB following the merger in 2018. So we comprise of five trusts. So we've got the Quinns here, which most of you will be familiar with at Burton. There's the larger acute site, which is at Derby, so the Royal Derby Hospital. And then we've got three community hospitals. So we've got the London Road Community Hospital in the city centre. We've got the Sir Robert Peel at Tamworth. And we've got the Samuel Johnson Hospital at Lichfield. Thanks, Andrea. On to...
Is that okay?
Yes. So those are the sites as described. If you just take me on to the next screen, thank you. I feel a bit like Boris if I say next slide, please. But, so we've got, as you can see, it's a large acute trust. So 12,500 employees across our five sites. We do, we've got 1,600 inpatient beds, so it's a large acute trust, 52 operating theatres. So probably one of the five biggest trusts in the country in terms of having more than 50 operating theatres. And then we do a range of 4,000 outpatients a day. There's 220 emergency patients that are admitted each day, 25 babies born, etc. So you get the feel for quite a diverse but very large acute trust. So next slide, please. So I'm just going to take you through our story so far. 2 years, it seems like a long time, but it's not. It's flown by, particularly in recent times. So I'll take you through, next slide, please. I'll take you through our story so far. But I thought it was useful just to start with the merger principles. And I think the crucial factor in coming together for Burton was that it would sustain its clinical services at the Queen's Hospital in Burton, particularly for this end of the patch, make the best use of the community hospitals in Lichfield, Tamworth, but also our community hospital in the centre of Derby. And for Derby, the Royal Derby as it is now, what the benefit of coming together as a larger acute trust is it gave it access to a broader population and therefore ability to protect its specialists, its tertiary services. So next slide, please, Andrea. So what have we been doing? Particularly more recently, what we've done is we've launched a strategy in July this year, so our new strategy, Exceptional Care Together. And that's trying to set out a direction of travel for the next 5 years. It's quite a comprehensive strategy. It's underpinned by a number of sub-strategies and feeding into that, obviously, so they expect would be the clinical strategy. But importantly, the strategy was pulled together through a big conversation using a social media platform, which reached out to all of our staff. And we had a significant level of contribution from all of our staff in building that strategy. And from the wider public, hasten to say as well. There are probably five key points just with a quick mention in a strategy. It's around the PRIDE acronyms. The first one's about putting patients first, and that's about selecting the delivering the safest care that we can anywhere. A second strategy point is around providing the care right first time. And that's about delivering the best outcomes without any delays. Thirdly, in terms of financially, investing in our resources wisely, and that's about us delivering financially sustainable services within the broader system. Fourthly, about developing and nurturing our workforce, and what we want to be is the best place to work. And then lastly, about ensuring improvement through effective partnerships. And that's a crucial factor in terms of the way that the NHS is moving to work more of a system. And that includes the local authority as we go forward so that we deliver better care seamlessly. Just a few real positives. On this site here at Queen's, which is really most interested in, what we've got is the expansion of the treatment centre, so that opened recently in June. We've got two orthopaedic theatres within their 28-bedded ward underground facility, and on the top floor, the third floor, we've got a range of outpatient facilities, including urology and orthopaedics, as well as we're planning to move the breastfeeding service within there as well. And I think it's one of the largest capital investments on the site in more recent years. We've secured £22 million worth of funding to develop the outward site, and I'll talk to you about that towards the end of the slides. We've decided to invest in our maternity services, particularly through HP, and recruited additional midwives, maternity support workers, obstetricians, and sonographers, to support the service, enhance the service. And particularly linking to our community hospitals, we've opened a second endoscopy theatre, but most importantly, we have to be accredited by the royal body, and within that accreditation, we passed with flying colours, and that's testament to the excellent work of our staff that work within the endoscopy unit. Next slide, please. So, in terms of our story so far, I'm not going to go through all these bullet points, but I think the crucial fact is one of the points of coming together and being part of a broader trust was to focus on improved patient outcomes. And within the mix of that, we also wanted to ensure that services, as I said, were sustainable at QHV in particular. So we'd experience problems around recruiting to specific posts, and I'll talk in detail about that on the next slide. We wanted to bring a range of services more locally, closer to the population, and a range of services in-house, which were actually flowing across the border, providing in, say, Stoke or Leicester. And I think importantly now was the fact that we wanted to develop our community hospitals in the mix. So next slide, please. In terms of the ability to recruit to medical staff, one of the major problems we had as QHB, as a standalone trust, was providing a sustainable workforce. We had two key areas which are demonstrated on there. One is radiology, and the other is acute medicine. So radiology, we should have 13 radiologists on the QHB rota, and just prior to merger, we were really struggling. It is a hard-to-fill specialty, and so the posts are difficult to fill, but we'd only got two substantive consultant posts, and we had a range of locums filling that. But we've seen significant developments, and being part of a larger trust means that we have the ability to attract more people, and that's exactly what we've done. And similarly in acute medicine, there's about six whole-time equivalents on the rota, and this is where patients will just go through the emergency department and then into the first phase of a ward. And we had, as I say, six vacancies. We've now filled all of those posts, or 5.7 of them substantively, so nearly all of them. So it's a massive improvement in terms of where we are. And those are really committed to enhancing and building the services as we go forward. Next slide, please. As part of the merger, we identified six key specialties, which are identified there. In terms of how we could improve the services, and that was part of our case which was submitted to NHSI, a regulator. So it was around cardiology and creating a single cardiology team, providing hyperacute services at a specialised centre which would have been Derby, enhancing our TNO services. And as I talked through that, part of that's been helped by the treatment centre. Sustaining imaging services down here and improving those services. In terms of renal, we've got a main renal unit at QHBB, at Royal Derby, but also at Lichfield. So as I talked through the renal aspect, there's some real clinical outcomes and positives in terms of how we've managed to treat patients differently, and then in terms of cancer, how we've improved the pathways around specific cancer and areas like urologies. But as we go through, I'll talk through them in a bit more detail. And I'll try and go through at pace. So next slide, please. So just specifically cardiology. So previously we had over, previously we had a number of cases crossing the border, going to the likes of Leicester. What we've actually done is improve the services at Derby, and what we've got are repatriation of 70 specific cases doing PCI, which is a percutaneous coronary intervention. So this is where you put a stent, where you've got a narrowing of the artery. We try to enhance the service at Queen's here, but the recommendation through the British Cardiology Interventional Service was that it's better done in a concentrated larger centre, and so the decision was taken to do that specifically at Derby. But we do utilise the QHB catheter lab, which was previously run by InHealth, a private organisation. That's now been brought back in-house, and we use that for investigatory purposes. And there's a range of patients who are currently referred to Stoke have been repatriated, as well as part of the BSIS reconfiguration. And next slide, please. In terms of trauma and orthopaedics, as I said, we've opened the treatment centre. It is a fantastic facility, if ever anybody wants to have a look round. I know that Graham's had a look round in the early days, now it's completed, but it really is state-of-the-art, a state-of-the-art facility to provide the right appropriate care. Previously, we had acute knee pathway patients who presented at A&E who would ideally have to go elsewhere if you've got ligament damage. But we're now doing specialist clinics at Queen's around with a knee specialist consultant, and that's working exceptionally well and much better for the patients of Burton. Next slide, please. In terms of stroke services, our new stroke pathway went live in May of 2020. And I think it's important to say that this is a model which has been practiced in London for a while now. So it's got a proven track record. But ideally what you want is, if you've had a stroke, you need to be treated in a dedicated that unit where you've got dedicated stroke physicians who are trained specifically to care for you in an intensive way and deliver the likes of thrombolysis, for example. So now what would happen through the stroke pathway is consultation with the CCG, in agreement that all patients in the first 72 hours go to Derby, they go to the specialist stroke unit, and they're treated there, and at the appropriate time, hopefully within those 72 hours, they're transferred back to QHB and to the bed capacity, which will support their ongoing rehabilitation locally. Just worthy of mention as well, what we're focused on is also with our vascular teams, looking to repatriate some of the carotid artery surgery, which is now currently done at Stoke Hospital, back to Derby. And next slide, please. The renal service, again, there was a very nationally renowned renal service at Derby, but we didn't have a service at Queen's. And so in coming together, what we've been able to do is ensure that expertise is shared across the two acute sites, to the extent now whereby we have visiting consultants who will come down and do specific ward rounds. But what we have seen and what is proven is that a sustained decline in mortality as a result of that, and from acute kidney injury diagnosis, and that's proven over the last 2 years. I think the other aspect, we've got our own satellite dialysis unit at Samuel Johnson Hospital in Lichfield, works exceptionally well. Again, that's supported by the consultants at Derby, and that was previously supported by Adverio consultants from HEF. So that's working exceptionally well. And the focus going forward is how we can improve patients' lives around kidney dialysis, and how we can increase the rate of home dialysis throughout our population in Staffordshire. Next slide, please. So in terms of urology, we had a number of patients who were being treated from Queen's Den in Birmingham. And what I can say is that all the patients now are generally treated at either Derby or QHB site. You can see them as outpatients. But when they go to for their surgical aspect, what we have at the Derby site is robot, and they can be treated using the robot. And there's increasing evidence to demonstrate that patient outcomes are better if you are treated using robotic surgery. We're also improving the overall pathway for prostate cancer, and that's harmonised with what was happening at Derby previously. And I think again, it's showing that we're getting better outcomes as a result of that. Final specialty, please, radiology. I talked earlier about some of the problems that QHB faced in terms of recruiting to radiologist posts, and we've had a significant success in terms of now where we're at in terms of radiologists. But we've also increased over the last 2 years the number of reporting radiographers, which takes some of the pressure off the radiologists, the consultant radiologists, as a result, and that's working well. And they're working cross-site and learning from one another. We've also been able to merge some of the information systems, which is always a major coup, so that we can share across the piece some of the imaging, some of the images, so it makes it easier if consultants are remote and want to pull up those to improve the overall care. Next slide, please. So a range of other further developments, again, I'll canter through, but we're looking as we go forward to develop a vascular hybrid theatre, state-of-the-art theatre, across both Staffordshire and Derbyshire, which will allow us to again bring a range of treatments back into the trust and support care, specialist care closer to home. We've recently got £2 million in terms of the ability to develop our A&E estate. We'll expand our emergency department as a result of that, and that's partly linked to COVID and how we will manage our way through winter. Developing a third endoscopy room at QHB site. One of the major focuses at the moment is, and probably the area whereby we need to put a little more emphasis on, is around developing our strategy for our community hospitals, and I've just been given the ticket in the last few months to lead on that. In terms of developing our community hospitals, but the immediate thoughts are how that will work more as a system, and there will be links, needs to be closer links in terms of the local authorities in terms of the way that moves forward. And then there are plans as we go into winter, finally, just to expand our intensive care unit by 2 beds. Next slide, please. I talked earlier about the outwards development. We were successful in getting £22 million of capital funding, and we're in the midst of how we develop that, but what it will see is the whole site at the top of the trust developed in terms of providing a primary care centre, a community hub, residential care home, residential accommodation through extra care apartments, step-down facilities. So, all coming together in a healthcare village and linking to the existing facility which is on there, which focuses around dementia. Final slide, please. I think it probably wouldn't be appropriate for me to finish the presentation without just talking about COVID. And as you all know, we've had significant challenges over the last 6 months as an NHS and as a country. I think what's important to stress is that being part of a larger trust, I think, has helped us. Colleagues have come across all sites, from all sites have come together to reconfigure the actual services. We've seen significant transformation happen. It's amazing how things can happen very quickly. The adoption of the virtual appointments, virtual clinics, has been unbelievable. And I have to say, prior to this, we had resisted to a certain degree. So it shows that it can be done and at pace. We've got a lot still to do, though, hasten to add. So we've still got to stand our services back up to the levels broadly where they were before. We have to do that safely, both for the benefit of the patients and our staff. But we're focused on delivering that in a safe and effective manner. But it's not easy. The estate can be a limiting factor. We've got a number of staff off through shielding reasons. So there's a whole host of reasons why we have a backlog of work to do, which we have to sensibly work our way through. And as I said already, our digital technology has played a major part in terms of how we've changed the way that we deliver care. So apologies if that is quite a canter and a whistle stop tour through, but hopefully it gives you a demonstration in terms of some of the improvements we've made, some of the challenges that we still face, obviously, in terms of COVID. But I would say, as you guys say, I think in the first 2 years, it's been a busy 2 years, but I think we've made significant progress so far, but we recognise there's still a lot to do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, and thank you for that update. Are there any questions from any councillors that they'd like to ask Duncan? I have one, if nobody else does at the minute. So, one of the big concerns of local residents when this merger was initially happening was the loss of services between Burton Queen's Hospital to Derby and vice versa. It looks like in that presentation that it's being managed fairly well. I think one of the things that'd be interesting to, if you could elaborate on, was how you're seeing vulnerable groups or older groups or poor people that have access between hospitals. So, for instance, in the community, when they're diagnostic people, then they have to get a monitor and the treatment. I mean, it's a lot of these groups that would have challenges having between sites, probably the ones that would need these services the most. Have you seen much impact in the way of that with these certain groups and how that can manage across sites?
It's a good question. In fact, what happened was that we were doing the episodes with Central City down in Burton, and unfortunately, we've got quite a complicated case documentation to prove why we should be able to do that. Unfortunately, the Royal College Association with that sort of recommended that. I think we have set on that license that whilst we've done that, we have to defer to the experts. In terms of providing care closer to home, particularly for those most vulnerable and those in control, one of our focuses has been around, and this is more particularly for those of damage, but also for how we will actually provide more services at the community. So definitely that's where our community hospitals come in, how we can provide a broader range of outpatient procedures down there, we can provide diagnostics out there, so in terms of endoscopy, how we can provide a range of probably more money treatments for theatre at Tamworth, so that it becomes even more accessible for the broader range of the population. So we're constantly working on how we provide it, but that's not the main focus on community hospitals, but also at GHS. And then in terms of the elderly, we've got a lot of work to look at, and how we combine some of the things we've last years at our community hospitals, which are literally around frailty, which are they must be the routine, so that could have social work in there, but a consultant position for a GP in there, and therapist in there. So a broad range of people who can actually do a comprehensive assessment, but they deal with their challenges and issues in one go, rather than form the referrals constantly to one area to another.
Thank you, sir. We've got a question from Councillor Lamb.
It's been a pretty good work on this year in integrated care partnerships, but obviously we have COVID, you've got a central COVID in winter. Is anything of that work going to be in place next year, or is it going to have to pop? And the second question is around outwards, and it's quite a fair question, which is the one that when outwards was originally part of the concept, there was a big launch of what's going to be delivered. It's changed quite significantly since then. And when are you going to be able, when are you in a position to share more detail?
So the answer is, they're still rolling.
Yes, and Matt, we've had other meetings off the link, and their focus is specifically around services more locally, but we're trying to just find them, but one of the areas where we focus on for our population is the parking, for example, within the kind of niche field, and in the right response to emergency to rapid intervention service, so that people who have exacerbated conditions have been brought into acute. So the IDPs are functioning, albeit not statutory or religious at the moment, but that's where things delay slightly as a result of COVID. But they're achieving those who are getting the transport to work, because they should focus on the population health data, once that's been at specific key areas in the service. And what I do know from that data is that cancer is a problem, cancer outcomes, screening programs, or take us through training programs. So we're trying to just get that intelligence direct some of our work in those areas, if that makes sense. In terms of the project, it's been running for a few years, but I think we're clean on track. I would say that it seems to be got a good team around us now, it's going to do well. And we're in partnership with a company called Stride, which I find the set in, and we can change that now. And it's now totally under the European Trust Management, which is done the process within there, and I'm profit associated with that. In terms of communicating out, we're hoping that we will plan an event in December, and we have an evolving comms plan, and we're hoping to see that they'll be directed to around the end of September, beginning of October. So this is what we're doing.
That's a lovely company, that.
No, I think that's fine. I think Bernard was trying to attract your attention.
Thank you, Chair. May I just fully ask greatly to your 12,500 staff to discuss what they're doing in their outreach this time and beyond. Thank you so much for what you're doing to you and ONHS and all the key workers. I just want to find I'd be grateful if you kindly make some comments on the points I would like to put for your considerations. Number one, that the car parking facilities for their staff, what we're hearing, the people especially who work in the lower end, a significant amount of their monthly wages goes towards their car parking facilities to be paid for the car parking. So what is their future plan for the traffic? Is there anything you can do something for? Is there any positive response we can expect in the foreseeable future? And second point, if I may, in the NHS, and especially in the care sectors, people who are working, especially with their immigration issues, there's a threshold of about 26,000 something to put forward for with their patients for the home office, especially people who are working just about minimum wages or living wages, whatever. It's very hard for them to make like £14,000 to £26,000. So what is their mechanism for them to sustain their job? And eventually, they are helping us in the economy and the healthcare as well. And we very often for them in from the angels. So is there any positive response we expect on this issue as well? And third and final one, if I ask, is the doorsteps, we work in the doorsteps, the residents, they're asking us, this is what I'm just trying to answer, right, find, that why in this country, they've got the highest death rate in Europe, what went wrong? Then people are most grateful for you and your staff, the NHS and others as well. So I'd be extremely grateful if I can have some response on this. Thank you, sir. So in terms of the point on car parking, it always provides a lot of negative discussion when we have car parking in the trust, but it's really good news, they talk about, it's a managed rate to pay less, and insurance pay more. I think at the moment, we do have a differential between all the inverting, that's never been addressed in terms of when we can get a better decision for me, because the parking rate is cheaper than in the center. But at the moment, there is no move to actually reduce the car parking for the low-handed staff. And I would hasten to say that, you don't have the cost, it's minimal, and what they pay in charge for somebody's debt for parking in the town centre budget, but if we could, if we could afford it, it would be better. What I would say is that all the car parking charges are applied back to improving the car parking facilities, or to benefit the trust as well.
And we look at the best of the healthcare systems and all these in place. And why end with getting the highest equity in Europe, the country as a whole?
Yeah.
What went wrong?
I think it's too early to say, just at the moment. I think the whole range of strategies to it, but it's really on the equation. We talked about herding strategy, which is a catastrophic, and maybe it wasn't that, and then it changed a little bit. But there's a whole lot of extremely complex factors, which I think only years to come, we may be able to make more sense of that. What we don't know is why it hit certain people within the population, other than others, and some of the reasons and the answers. But I think it is too early to say something's wrong. Why? I've got to put this thing with the lockdown. We've only able to save thousands, tens of thousands of deaths now. I think that's easy to say in hindsight. The idea is I think we've got to wait a little time yet for the more in terms of what we want them to be in and reading from the bottom.
Thank you, and I'm grateful for that as well. And I would like to thank you, Chair, and giving the opportunity to point out this piece of comments. And let me ask you, possibly, I know that it's difficult to make the comments on the national issues, but possibly when you are on the forum or anything, I believe these issues are people, especially with the lower paid people, to be addressed in the news, if I may.
Thank you,
Chair.
Question. Yes,
thank you. I think you spent some time talking about recruitment and retention, and retention was a particularly challenging subject at that time. I guess it's easy now. We haven't heard too much about colleagues being succumbed overseas into nursing staff, Filipino nursing. Can you just share what the situation is on the recruitment and retention at Queen's?
Yeah, so
In terms of across UHS, or across UCBS, we can't say that it's one of the benefits of making custom across the piece, it's been a hospital place, so other presentations, disease secondary, and acute medicine. So that's particularly important. We still do go, obviously, to rely on some of our overseas quality of excellence and providing care. And so, particularly in the part, that strategy has been to actively recruit from the overseas, and that's the sort of thing that's there. In terms of nursing, of course, we've seen an improved going, so as we have in past, for example, in more years. So, across the board, we've got less patients, but we still do have some, so we still do rely on a range of people who do back shifts, and of course, that is more expensive. So, we pay slightly higher rates. We've used our own bank, supposed to be from the private sector banks, which is a deficit. But the picture overall has improved significantly. It's a lot less than we were 2 weeks ago. Those were the late night when I worked for Queen's as a hospital on its own. It was around some of the gaps we had filling the road as a result.
Thank you. One of the issues going back a few months is quite a while now since I've seen them from the hospital, not pushing on here before anything. But one of the more common fights with Stefan Burke is that the net line managers were all disappearing over the Derby and the team now. They've been quite frustrated. I just realised that situation improved. The observation on COVID, the appointment system, my appointment system at the blood testing facility at Derby is excellent. It was brilliant to make it happen. You could just turn and do this right into that. That's a real positive. I'm happy to continue. And thirdly, just to echo Castle's sayings, I hear what you say about it's a minimal cost for parking. But those lowest paid workers, those cleaners, the minimal cost could mean everything to them, push them over the edge. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you for that. It wasn't perfect and based on determination. And I think it was in pockets, so some areas were more problematical than others. I think also in terms of the we did expect people to say, I've worked in those systems, for example, the Korean Department, which is excellent. We actually just thought, automatically, they come together, they'll perform them, perhaps 16 million off another. Problems are some very, very small and easily solvable, others whereby you've got quite high crime terms that divide, and that has led to that, I think, right? And so I'm not going to talk about the workers. We must also address those COVID, two or three greetings and shared by a chief executive. It's some really good progress and new pieces of organisational development work as a result. A new HR director come in and she's leading on the software on some of the stuff. It's amazing how through COVID that it brings teams more closely to control. So it has died down significantly. I met with us pretty early last week as well, just to check in. We don't have to take that piece of work off, but a lot of the problems, I think, because of the severity of the case, due to adhere to the problems, but I think my team has managed it with there. Still some work to do, because I'm on it. And as part of the result of COVID, I think we've got a lot of work to do for some of the teams who think you might still time to do our data in terms of managing the COVID situation. So, on the blood system, I'm a little bit interested to hear that you want to comment on that. System for scripture, but in the burden. Not just because we were looking at the previous year, again, to meet how those certification effects are to be set up and to be implemented very quickly, and as you put in the session, well, it means that it's much more better for the patient not having a patient on the basis that you described. And then just finally on parking, I think we're doing a reason for that. I think we're going to make problems and try to make the problems particularly for those who are on lower pay rates. I think there's still some room. Many people think that some sections say that it will increase it, differential for those on high bands, sort of bands, and at least keep it the minimum for low bands, and then that's the reason for it. But we haven't been able to problem with the rates across the system.
No, Chair, but just to say thank you for the full and complete answers, and yeah, my medical test system continues.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Two questions I really want to ask. I just like to ask, how far behind have you gone, or how far have you been on counterfeit getting origins, treatment, or just proof of it, and how far have you been behind on this, and where are we now in getting the treatment to people? And second question, have we now got a standard place in place of a winter or COVID-19 winter wave, if there was a second coming in the winter? And would we be looking at it should COVID or pass down to put it, so I've got the other plans already working in place for the situation in winter. And that's lastly, actually, Council Walker, you said, what happened? Yes, I have to do that.
Thank you. In terms of the counterfeits, it's a normal priority, as you'd expect, we have to do certain diagnostics, so one of the crucial elements around counting is some diagnostic tests. So, for example, developing your endoscopy, certain pathways, and a lot of those tests, and then so it becomes less fundamental, and the diagnostics also get you to the same point, emergency cancer. We managed them in terms of patients over 62 days with a cancer or without cancer treatment, patients are only in 4 days, which is an HS national measure. And I think the last I saw in Sweden about 15-20 weeks, last week was 130, patients over 104 days. I think that's the way. So I think the important point to take is that the more focus on just about some of the cancer services and backup, treatments as well as it could be, for example, and the situation where we have clear trajectory, and the decision is that I think by the next few weeks, we will have services back to where they would have been pre-COVID. One of the challenging parts within that has been what we saw, especially the referral in 2 weeks, what we saw is massive drop off in referrals, and patients not presenting to their GP. As a consequence, again, I can't predict that number, but I think it's around 10 referrals a month. We see it came down to 200 or something like that. But it's a difficult drop off, but it's a result of the drop off in the numbers. It's also about 700, as opposed to 800. And then we still need
and to be promoting that the patients come through to their GPs if they have any concerns or anything they may have to come to. But our number one priority, and that's driven by the government challenges as to where we'll get to, we've got to actually take this and by the first step, and let's go back nationally on where we are against humans. So, Winter, it's never been that number of patients, we haven't been as complex to try and put people in to come together. But in that moment, we're modelling, but if you're in that, you're trying to construct something which you think is trying to take into consideration what we're available, will we get a second wave, what impact that will have. How we actually make our bets going forward and keeping patients safely. How we can get increased support. So previously, in some of our data lists, actually, we get six patients, we get a clean case between cases, because we're involving the PPE, the safety, where then we're going to get four through. So the whole range of different scenarios, which is where we again, to that previous question around our elective patients, also how we're managing through winter. We've got to do is make investments for that community hospital and community beds, which are down there as well, which we're trying to capture into this equation, which will help on the patients and
Councillor Brady, would you like to come back at this point?
Thank you.
Councillor Warman.
Thank you, Jeff. Just a couple of questions, if I may. First of all, are you offering counselling to some of your workers, the data staff and so on, in dealing with COVID outbreak? Because I know a few people that do work in the hospital, and the stress and strain that's been on them, it's just unbelievable. And I echo Councillor Hussain's thoughts. Thank gosh for our key workers and our hospital staff and NHS, an amazing job. But I'm just concerned that they're, I'm just asking you, if there is counselling, if they need to come, make some of them. But maybe in the future, perhaps they may, there's not just tell them. So I think it's certainly a consideration I think needs to be offered for sure. On slightly different regarding car parking. Again, I echo Councillor Hussain and Councillor Waters also regarding the staff that are on low pay. How many car park places do you have for staff? Is there a specific number, or do you just deliver to another home to get space? And also, slightly, again, regarding car parking, are you looking at actually the area about the outside houses and stuff like that? What is the situation regarding that? Are you trying to manage making parking for people's houses and stuff for days or even overnight?
Scheduled plan, yeah, indicated in the report on the agenda.